This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hey, listen to Resting Round Upon, Free FM, RFM, and MP. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh.
Hey.
Gonna put a bit of focus on NXT. We ran out of time to talk about it last week, so gonna take a look at that main event. It was the ladder match for the NXT Championship, vacated by Oba Femi. Ultimately, you know, we got Ricky Saints and Joe Hendry, kind of the top two talents in there, but we did manage to get to see a whole bunch of the newer to the NXT men's division talent as well, get a bit of showcase, see what they are all about. But ultimately, at the end of it, it was Joe Hendry holding up that championship.
Definitely a match that showcased like just about everybody. And I saw a lot of people complaining about the ending of the match, the unrealistic way they ended it with Ethan Page. It was my answer. What I was going to say is kind of tied in because of Ricky Saints deciding to pose before going to get the title, allowing Joe Hendry to spawn himself to the ladder, essentially. And
has nobody seen any character work by Ricky Saints, AEW or NXT, like, ever? Half his gimmick is that he's so egotistical.
Yeah, and that's why I mistakenly called him Ethan Page, because they're both all ego. And it makes sense. If you're a dastardly heel, a bad guy, and you've just eliminated, like, the baddest guy in the match at that point, and there's nobody in the ring with you, if you've got an ego the size of a mountain like he does, or like Ethan Page does, you're gonna soak it in, and the hatred of the crowd, knowing that you're just about to capture the title for the second time. But it also did one other thing besides that. If you were listening when Joe Hendry appears, you hear the crowd respond. You hear the response because they just realize this is the moment. And then the title shot was weak, but it served to do what it needed to do. Joe Hendry gets to carry the title, and they got to showcase so many different people, like that Carter guy. That Carter guy looked like a bad MF-er. And I think he's going to be somebody that you need to take a look at. Jackson Drake, I think somebody who's going to be a major player in NXT. I think the match did what it was supposed to do. It got the right guy that can carry the title for the next 6 months or something. And it showcased so many new guys that they are going to be relying on once Joe goes up to the main roster.
Yeah, I heard people being like, you know, why wasn't this just either a tournament or some sort of match between Ricky and Joe? Because that's clearly, you know, the feud and we're the only two real options out of the competitors. But that wasn't the point of the match. The point of the match was to, for the most part, I know a couple of the guys like Dark State and such were already introduced. But for most of these guys, they're being introduced to the audience. You're showing them what they can do. And a ladder match is always a crazy way to do that. People always come up with some weird ideas that I'm not expecting. And so it was perfect to accomplish, as you say, the multiple goals. Get the title on Joe Hendry, set up the feud with Ricky to go forward from here, introduce you to five different guys. There was an Oba Femi-sized hole in the NXT men's division, and you're starting to see what puzzle pieces might be filling that in. Because as you rightly say, Joe Hendry's time probably isn't too much longer on NXT. He'll run with the belt for a little while, but you know, come next year's Royal Rumble, I'm pretty sure he won't be around. So we got to start molding those people, bringing them up from Evolve, bringing them in from the Performance Center, and start filling those holes. And we got to see, I guess, like, if you didn't get enough of it, this week on NXT, Joe Hendry did defend his championship against Jackson Drake as well, just to give you, you know, another 10 minutes of why you should care about these people. And it's interesting, I guess, with Evolve as well, sort of developing people up to here. And we did have that mass call up, I guess, of new talent. And yeah, it's cool to see how they all fit together and getting them their showcases. Even in one-on-ones with Joe, for example. Something else that happened 8 whole minutes ago was the result of a women's tag team match. And I feel like every week we sit here, we say two things. The Judgment Day are going to explode. And Zarya and Sol Ruka are going to explode. I think we're getting there. You know, we had Ren QCC, Ren Sinclair and Kendall Gray going up against Zarya and Sol Ruka, with the stipulation being whoever got the pinfall is the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship. And there was, I don't know, miscommunication. Zarya bumps into Sol Ruka. The ref calls it a tag, so be it. And Sol Ruka ends up picking up the win with a pretty peeved off Zarya standing next to her, you know, being so close to that opportunity but not getting it.
And especially after last week, Sol Ruka accidentally hit the Soul Crusher on Zarya. We're on the verge. It's about to happen. Probably after that match next week. Title match, whenever that is.
I think I saw on the graphic the 24th. I don't even know. That does line up to a Tuesday. Okay, so 2 weeks from now. Yeah, it feels like Zarya versus Sol Ruka could be one of the matches that we get at Stand and Deliver. Don't know, you know, if we do explode late Feb, do we want to drag it through to April? Maybe it could headline the one beforehand. I think I just saw NXT Roadblock, a special episode coming up around, you know, late March, early April could be where you put it in. But they're going to explode, and ultimately Sol Ruka probably destined for the main roster, and Zarya, depending on how it's positioned, could walk out with, you know, an NXT Women's Championship. If Sol doesn't, or maybe Sol does capture it in a couple weeks and they feud over it, I don't know. It does feel like Zarya is the one now to build and Sol is the one to move on.
Especially after the showcase she had in the Rumble. I think she's definitely, like, moving on to the main roster to be a body to work with in the mid card with like the Julias and stuff that can maybe let Chelsea Green move up.
Yeah, it's as if you weren't already planning on moving Sol Ruka up to the main event after that Royal Rumble, you kind of have to. She had quite a shining performance in there and fit in pretty well. I think it's just a matter of getting over this Sol Ruka versus Zarya feud. Personally, I do prefer people to do their big feud and then move up. I know we do see sometimes they hang around a little bit, do another feud here or there, but we'll see what happens for Sol Ruka. But much like Joe Hendry, I imagine her time is short. Anything else you want to talk about NXT before I head to the main roster? Just in case I've missed something specifically you want to chat about.
I can't think of anything at the moment.
Alrighty, well, I'm going to use this as our transition point. I'm going to go into our entrance theme, you know, nicely divide the show. It is our NXT champion, Joe Hendry's theme, and it's playing for you right about now.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry.
I believe in Joe Hendry, cause they love him in London and Paris and Tokyo, America, Scotland and Canada and Mexico. They say I believe in Joe Hendry, I believe in Joe Hendry.
And you're back for a second on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady, he's Josh. On to the main roster side. Things are getting interesting around the SmackDown WWE Championship. It seems to still be interweaving. We know now the Elimination Chamber matches have been announced. They will be for the non-Rumble picked champion. Seemingly Roman Reigns has picked his CM Punk, which means the winner of the Chamber will face whoever happens to hold the WWE Championship, be it Drew McIntyre, be it somebody else, at WrestleMania. And obviously the feud is there for Cody Rhodes to earn himself a rematch, but Jacob Fatu obviously doesn't want that to happen. There's quite a few different people who are either going to qualify for the Chamber in matches to qualify for the Chamber. Ultimately, my question is going to be, how do we get a triple threat out of this?
Pretty simple. Cody wins, and then Jacob Fatu destroys both of them on consecutive weeks heading down the road, and they just force his way into it. It's a pretty simple story that we've seen played out multiple times.
What if instead Jacob won? Ooh.
Then
no appetite for that one.
Cody has no reason to pull that, though. It doesn't work with his character. It works.
Yeah,
with Jacob,
I just want Jacob to get a big win. We'll obviously know after this week, because the qualifying match for the Chamber itself coming up on SmackDown this week does involve both Rhodes and Fatu. I do imagine Cody Rhodes wins that qualifier, as you say, and it just feels like the feud is a triple threat, and that's where we get ourselves to heading down the line. But we'll see how it all shakes out.
I'll give you an alternate. It won't be pretty. It won't be something people will like. What if Drew McIntyre, whether the final two in the Elimination Chamber is Fatu and Rhodes, and Drew McIntyre gets involved and takes them both out, and there's no winner? And that's how you get your triple threat.
Yeah. It seems as though every time Cody gets close, Drew is there to stop him. Like, Drew's trying really hard to not have to defend his title against Cody Rhodes. You think to the Rumble, Cody was doing well. It's Drew McIntyre that kicked him and eliminated him. Be it his qualifying match, maybe Drew McIntyre comes out, messes with Cody, and it's Fatu that gets in instead of him. Maybe Cody can get in through some sort of last chance kind of qualifier, dunno. Or maybe, as you say, it's the at the Chamber itself. Drew McIntyre jumps in, screws over Cody. Maybe that's how Fatu can win. And then Cody just has the complaint of like, look, this guy's been stopping me from getting all of these wins, all of these opportunities. Don't know. There's a few different ways, but I would be shocked if it was anybody that wasn't Rhodes or Fatu heading into WrestleMania.
And that's why I thought, like, because I figured they probably could just spend about once, have Cody win that qualifier, and then Fatu spins off to a last chance match, wins it, they're both in it, and then that would be what would, and then you could have them as the final two, and then decide from there what you're going to do. But that's kind of what my thinking was.
Yeah. what exact order everything falls in. We'll know this week from SmackDown exactly where that side of things is heading. Over on the women's side, Liv Morgan's left it a little bit more. I'm not even going to try and play ambiguous. It's heavily her and Stephanie Vaquer at WrestleMania, which does leave Jade Cargill's championship. No, Liv's not changing her mind, which leaves Jade Cargill's championship up for the Elimination Chamber. We'd been saying for months, even at this point, you know, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, that is the money match. Maybe Bianca is not ready to come back for the Elimination Chamber just yet. We're going to have to go a different way. Is there a favorite opponent for you at for Jade at WrestleMania if it isn't a Bianca Belair?
Jordy and Grace.
Yeah.
Just because the power of both of them facing off against each other, I think, would make an interesting match. I don't know. It's harder to pick for Jade because, I mean, Jordan kind of brought it up in the promo on SmackDown. Jade has not defended the title at all since she won it. It's kind of like they've been waiting and waiting on Bianca, and Bianca just can't be healthy enough to compete or something. I don't know. But it's like, I have little interest in whoever she faces because she hasn't been facing anybody.
Yeah, they've kind of put themselves in a corner, right? Because we know they want to protect Jade and not taking losses, fine. But she does still, you know, need to defend that championship every so often. I'm not talking, you know, a squash match with Chelsea. I'm talking some actual defenses at some PLEs heading into WrestleMania. We've slightly hyped up the Grace Cargill feud. Is it WrestleMania? It might be our only option. Maybe we get it earlier. Not 100% sure. We know that for the chamber, we've already got Stratton and Ripley, and then we know there's two other qualifiers that don't contain Bianca, leaving really only two spots. If they're going to do something, if she is ready to come back, and I kind of hope she is, just so that we're not sitting on pause. I think you described it well. Jade Cargill's entire championship run has just been the subline has just been waiting on Bianca. It feels like they had in their heads this Jade versus Bianca big match and can't do anything other than that until we wait until Bianca's back. And I don't even know after that, you know, does Bianca walk off with the championship? It looks pretty bad on Jade if after all this time you're not defending it, first defense or first big defense goes out there and just loses to Bianca. I don't know what they're doing, man. But whatever it is, it isn't working with Jade. She's cooled off so much since the stuff with Bianca and the stuff with Naomi and all of that, just from not seeing her, not defending it. I don't know. You've got 2 months to heat her back up and get me excited in whatever you do. If you were the WWE, obviously, listening to this. We also, around the Intercontinental Women's Intercontinental Championship, I should clarify, we've got AJ Lee returns, goads Becky into a title match, fine. But I want to talk more about the Natty and the Maxine Dupri stuff onto the side. I know you've been a big fan of Natalia. Prior to this, we've been talking about her living legend character that she's been doing around on GCW and some other indies and also in AAA, saying like, oh, she's got to bring it here. This change of character is what she needs. Brings it out at the Rumble. It's like, okay, please don't be a one-off. Brings it out on Raw, continues attacking Maxine. We're like, all right, locked in. Is this our annual Natty push towards the championship?
It kind of feels like it. I don't know. It's just I want to see it before to believe it. But I like just the difference in the character. I don't think she wrestles for the world championship at WrestleMania, so I don't think she wins the match. I think there is money in her and Maxine at WrestleMania. I think that would make a fine match and make it a submission match. And we can go back to WrestleMania 13.
Yeah.
Bret Hart versus Austin. And then we see where we go from about, there.
I hadn't thought about the submission aspect of it, but you are right. There's kind of two feuds in parallel with Maxine and Natty and then AJ and Lynch. I did wonder, are we going to end up with a fatal four-way potentially at WrestleMania? Because we know that Lee and Lynch are going to fight coming up at the Chamber. These two still, you know, floating around that scene. Interestingly, all four of them do have submission finishes and could be something that we could pull off. But yeah, I don't know. It's if I compare it to the Women's United States Championship side of things, I'm quite happy with the Intercontinental side of things for sure. Even if I guess Becky Lynch's reign was kind of waiting on AJ as well. It's like there's these big marquee matches and we're just kind of filling until we get there. We know CM Punk Roman Reigns is probably the big WrestleMania match. We're going to have a banger with Finn at the Chamber, sure, but it does feel more just like a bit of a filler before we get to the big main event that we've all been waiting for, the big clash that we've been waiting for. Let's talk Vision. So obviously Royal Rumble, Bron Breakker comes out. Number two gets stomped by Hooded Man number three. And we have some theories, you know, is it Adam Pearce? Is it such and such? And then this week on Raw, Austin Theory has a chance to qualify for the Chamber. Bam, Hooded Man is back. And it seems as though this is going to be where the Vision end up at WrestleMania. I don't know how far we're going to drag it through, but it's also, I guess, what members of the Vision are going to be healthy come time of WrestleMania as well, as it looks like Bron Breakker's gone out with a hernia. So I guess, what are your thoughts around where the Vision is heading as we get towards WrestleMania?
Well, without Bron Breakker, it's dead on arrival, and that's just the simple truth.
You're not interested in anything you can pull off with Theory, Reed, or Paul?
I mean, Paul could probably talk you into just doing just about anything. But for me, yeah, it's just this group its whole purpose is Bron Breakker. And if Bron Breakker's not going to be around, then they don't need to be together. And they could use Heyman and so many other places. But I don't know. It's just, I hope that he's able to wrestle at WrestleMania, but if he's not, I don't want him to force it. If that means that Seth Rollins gets a vacation for WrestleMania, so be it. But it is what it is. We'll have to see who they decide to reveal the masked man is. But with Bron Breakker out of commission, I have very little interest in everything Vision.
Yeah, it's kind of been an unfortunate run with injuries, right? As you say, the group's design was to get Bron Breakker over, leading with Seth. It felt like, you know, maybe there was going to be that big bang moment where Bron's going to turn on Seth and we're going to get a match between those two. And then Seth goes out with injury and we're like, okay, let's capitalize on this. You got Bron versus Punk for the championship start of the year. All right, he didn't win it. Fine, maybe he wins the Rumble. Maybe he does something here or there that we can build towards. Nope, Masked Man storyline. All right, fine. Maybe you'll reveal this to be Seth Rollins. We'll get our big Rollins Breaker match. We got something we can... Oh, nope. Okay, Bron's gotten a hernia. He's got to go have surgery. Welp. And now we're kind of just in the... Well, what three people are they going to throw at the Vision to have a six-man tag match? Because every sort of important facet of the storyline, or as you say, of the entire group's purpose, just continues to get injured, isn't able to make it, and it's just unfortunate. It's not through any fault of the people in it or in the storylines. It just happens to be the way that it's going. We got a little bit of time. Let's talk a combination of AAA and the main roster. El Grande Americano cross-company storyline at the moment. We saw both of them. I'm just going to call them Gable and Kaiser. We saw both of them at the Royal Rumble. We're like, okay, bam, here we go. We got our feud. We go to AAA. It was meant to be Kaiser, who was getting a big shot in the main event. Gable comes along, handcuffs him to a pole, is booed out of the building the entire time through the match, through the entrance. He does qualify for the Raider Reyes tournament coming up for AAA. Kaiser comes out, big pop. And you're like, all right, they love Kaiser. He cuts promos in Spanish. They like his interpretation of this character. They hate Gables, who's way more, you know, egotistical. He still does the sort of shooshing and the pointing in the air taunts. Flip over to Raw, absolute opposite reaction. Everybody loves Gable. Everybody hates Kaiser.
This is very, again, I'm going to use something from 1997. This is very Bret Hart and the Hart Foundation and their dynamic inside the U.S. and anywhere else. They were hated in the United States. They were beloved anywhere that was not the U.S. And I think this is something that I think we're going to see these two go at it on a AAA show. And I think it'll be probably whatever they decide to do around WrestleMania for AAA. And then maybe a wild idea, the AAA championship would throw in Dominic Mysterio against the two. And then you could then crown Ludwig Americano as the champion, give the Mexican people what they want. Because they really do love Ludwig Americano, and I think you could give them that, and then you could then you could split away and have Gable be full on Gable on American television, and we can get away from that and you still have El Grande Americano for the Mexican fans.
100%. That is if Dominic does make it there. Has a match with his hair on the line at Raider Reyes as well, which we will talk about as we get closer to that show late March, and that tournament and show for AAA begins to build. But we can't talk about it this week because we've run out of time. It's been great talking to you.
Bye, B.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/wrestlingirondup, our Twitter page, twitter.com/wrestlingirondup, or our YouTube page, youtube.com/wrestlingrndup. And we will catch you next week. It's like the prize right in front of my eyes, and taking up the sky's the limit, got no time to waste. Tonight's the big goal, strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from 3, go, press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning, we're fearless and crowd stunning. Never been ever on record, there's the one to... This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.